Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to KCAW Sitka. I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. Sitka's state senator is proposing a bounty on sea otters. Bert Stedman doesn't see the animals as the cute critters that delight tourists, but rather as a threat to shellfish beds in Alaska. Stedman has introduced legislation that would have the state pay $100 for each sea otter lawfully killed under the Federal Marine Mammal Protection Act. He says he's not talking about eradication, but slowing the population growth. He says he also wants to send a message to the federal government that something needs to be done. A U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service spokesman says the bill, if it were to pass, would be unenforceable under the federal law. Bruce Woods says the agency understands fishermen's concerns, but says its management decisions must be guided by science. What may be the largest convention in Sitka's history is coming to town this fall. Sitka Convention and Visitors Bureau Director Tonya Ryu shared the news with the Chamber of Commerce on Wednesday.
So ATIA is coming to Sitka. Sorry, I'm excited about this. So we will be having 400 delegates, approximately.
That's 400 delegates of the Alaska Travel Industry Association, the statewide visitor industry marketing organization. A typical large convention in Sitka might have 150 to 200 delegates and take place in Harrigan Centennial Hall. Ryu told the chamber she had a different venue picked out for the October gathering.
We are able to do all of it on the Alaska Arts Southeast, former SJ campus.
Sheldon Jackson College closed in 2007 and was turned over to Alaska Arts Southeast, also known as the Sitka Fine Arts Camp, 4 years later. Ryu says the campus is well situated for a huge meeting like the ATIA's, which simply wouldn't work in Harrigan Centennial Hall. She took a minute to outline the reasons.
The way that our convention areas are set up, they can't accommodate that large of groups, but because the Fine Arts Camp was willing to work with us and the Hames Wellness Center was willing to work with us, we're able to hold our general sessions inside the gymnasium. And so all of our general sessions and luncheons will be held there. And then there will be a trade show that will bring in more than 30, just under 40 exhibitors that will be exhibiting their products from different locations in Alaska to TripAdvisor. I know TripAdvisor's been there the last couple of years promoting themselves in the trade show. That will be held downstairs in Allen Hall. Then there's general breakout sessions every day during those 3 days where professional development courses are offered. And all of those will be held upstairs in Allen Hall in each of the rooms. And they anticipate usually attendance of between 50 or 75 up to 100 participants in each of the breakout sessions as well.
Ryu encouraged chamber members and businesses to prepare for the arrival of so many guests in town, and certainly not boring guests. Ryu said ATIA members understand the importance of fun.
This is a convention of 400 people who entertain for a living. We're in the hospitality industry, so it is our job to entertain, make sure people have a great time, make sure people experience the best of everything that we have to offer. And everyone who attends loves participating in those types of things, too.
Ryu said every ATIA convention had a theme. Sitka has proposed the fine art of tourism to celebrate the connection with the campus. She told chamber members that subcommittees had formed to help plan everything from evening activities to gift baskets. She encouraged businesses to contact the Convention and Visitor Bureau with their ideas. The ATIA annual convention will be held in Sitka October 8th through the 10th and conclude just as the Alaska Day Festival is about to open. Ryu concluded her presentation by screening four short promotional films the Visitors Bureau commissioned last summer. You can see one on our website at kcaw.org. A measure that would require voters to show photo identification at the polls got its first hearing yesterday. Representative Bob Lynn, a Republican from Anchorage, sponsored the bill, and he views it as a simple way of preventing voter fraud.
We need photo ID to buy booze, to enter a federal building, at the airport, for some banking operation, to drive your car, to get a passport, to buy cigarettes, for a certain test taking, at some workplaces, to enter federal building, and more.
If a person doesn't have photo ID available, they would have to show two alternate forms of identification, such as a birth certificate or tribal organization card. A person could also be okayed to vote if they are recognized by two election officials. If a voter doesn't meet any of these requirements, then they have to cast a questioned ballot. During the hearing, the director of the Alaska Division of Elections answered questions about the mechanics of the bill and the number of cases of voter fraud that Alaska had seen. Gail Funamie said the state had experienced very few cases and that those would not have been prevented by the proposed law. Questions were also raised about the effect the proposal would have on bush communities and whether it would be constitutional, with representatives from the Association of Village Council Presidents and the American Civil Liberties Union speaking against the bill. Representative Lynn Gaddis, a Republican, also commented that some of her constituents from Wasilla have raised concern about the bill.
It's not uncommon for them to go to the polls, going to people that they know in our small community, either knowing somebody or pulling out a fishing license or a hunting license, but not necessarily traveling with two pieces of ID. And they just find this very, very cumbersome, especially since we don't really have that problem of voter fraud. So,
nearly a dozen states currently have photo ID laws in effect. Lynn introduced a similar bill during the last legislature, but did not push for it in committee. Last Friday afternoon, a sea lion washed up onto the rocks in Sitka Sound. Soon after, a group of Alaskan scientists set out to investigate what happened. KCAW's Ann Bryce reports.
Kylie Jackson is at the University of Alaska Ramp in Sitka with a small team of scientists and helpers dissecting a female stellar sea lion. It was found dead just a few days earlier near the airport in Sitka by a Department of Transportation contractor whose job it is to keep birds away from the runway so it's safe for planes to land. At first, nothing seems out of the ordinary. Jackson takes a small serrated knife that looks like one you'd cut a tomato with and makes a couple of short incisions, about 3 inches long, into the mammal's blubber. After samples are collected, she and her team slice a little deeper and peel back the thick flesh from its abdomen.
In strips, like I'll probably cut a line here, and a line here, and a line here, and just like peel the blubber back.
Yeah. Kylie has figured out that it was lactating before it died.
Yes, that so either possibly pregnant or just given birth, I would guess.
Guess we're going to find out.
We're going to find out.
Yeah. And there it is.
It's a baby sea lion.
Oh, look at the little baby flippers.
Oh, goodness.
Oh. It already has claws.
God, it's so cute.
Based on the time of year and how big the baby was, Jackson guesses the sea lion was a couple weeks from giving birth. She says February is when she starts getting calls about baby sea lions that don't survive after they're born. Jackson works for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA. She's with the Marine Mammal Stranding Network. She says her job is to respond to dead animals reported in Alaska, and then try to figure out how they died by doing a necropsy.
So far I haven't seen any signs of trauma or anything like that. So, you know, I mean, carrying a baby is a pretty taxing process, so it could have just been too much for her, I'm not sure.
Because there aren't any obvious signs as to what killed the sea lion, the team will collect samples of all the tissue and send them to a pathologist in Anchorage. They'll also freeze the fetus and send it to the pathologist for its own necropsy.
It's an opportunity to collect data that otherwise isn't available to us, and also it's a good way to find out if there's things going on in the environment that we should be aware of. If they're sick of something or something's happening, it's a good indicator.
My goal is to remove what we call the pleck, which is everything from the
the tongue and the esophagus and the trachea down into the heart and the lungs. And if we can take the whole thing out, it makes it a lot easier to sample cleanly and check for, you know, possibly ingested gear, things like that. I've only done it a couple of times, so we'll see how it goes.
When Jackson examined contents in the esophagus, she found a thin, pointed, claw-like object about 5 inches long that could be the cause of death.
What is that?
Is that shrimp? No.
No, that's, I would say, a crab claw. Oh.
Is that stuck in there?
No.
Get a picture of it. We'll collect it.
Was it, where was it?
It was in the esophagus.
That would explain thoracic fluid.
Should that be a picture?
Yeah.
That's we're collecting that sucker.
I just pulled it out of the esophagus.
Well, it doesn't look like a piece of crab.
Is it a stingray spine?
Could have caused it to get...
It isn't clear yet what killed the sea lion, but by bringing in more experts to examine the clues, researchers hope to learn this animal's story and how it contributes to our own. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ann Bryce.
State officials are soliciting proposals for armed security guards at the Anchorage Regional Office of Children's Services. The director of the Office of Children's Services last month said the Anchorage office had been the subject of a recent number of menacing calls and threats. The governor's supplemental budget request included $490,000 for security upgrades at the office. The proposal seeks a contractor to provide armed guard service and protection for the state against fire, theft, pilferage, malicious injury, and destruction. The contractor would provide two guards who would carry concealed weapons. That's it for Raven News for this hour. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka. Have a wonderful morning. Thanks for being with us.